Everyone, welcome everyone out this morning. Thank you for your attendance here. We've got a good group here for our 9 o'clock study. For this month, we're actually in these early morning talks. We're going to be talking about acts of worship, but a little bit different than sometimes, in the traditional sense, use that in quotation marks there, of the acts of worship that we do on a Sunday morning, say, or in a worship service, but more in general. And I think when we were talking about this in the elders meeting, for lack of a better way to put it, it's kind of like this service is preached to the choir. Because the folks that are here at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning know these things, and the things we're going to talk about this month are not going to be anything new, and I'm sure it's not going to be anything, but at least, if nothing else, you get out of it a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of a build-up as far as, okay, I'm headed on the right track, and we're trying to do the right things in the right way. But the subject that I have for this morning is kind of a general, and we'll turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 to start our study. And the idea of what we're going to talk about this morning is the idea of good works. And in Ephesians chapter 2, if you turn there or look at it up here on the screen, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And I don't know, this subject of good works is probably no different. I don't know if others find this to happen. It's like you don't realize how many times a subject sometimes is mentioned in Scripture until you start to study on it a little bit, and you realize just how much it's mentioned. And so I've got a lot of verses we're going to go through this morning, and we'll just touch on some for the sake of time. But just want to look at this. But first and foremost, just to kind of set the table, and again, nothing new to anyone here this morning, I don't think. But first point I wanted to make, or a couple of points even out of that reading we just had, is we're not saved by good works. In fact, the very reading we just had, if you look back at verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So the idea here is first, and this the passage we read, is that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not by works. And then also in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, there it's written, it says, But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So just to lay the groundwork there, when we talk about good works, good works are not what saves us. Obviously, these two brief passages we read, it said grace through faith, and it's the love and the mercy of God that saves us. But we may not be saved by good works, but that's the point we're going to talk about this morning, is we are saved to do good works. And so we're going to look at a few things there just to start off and go back again to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It said there, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And that's part of our job here on this earth as a Christian, is to do those good works. And then also, back in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself for himself, his own special people." And notice that last part, "zealous for good works." So again, we see the idea of not saved by him, but we're saved to do the good works, and that our idea should understand that we're created in him and that we're zealous to do those. And then in Titus, again still in the book of Titus, in Titus chapter 3, look at three different verses there. Let's kind of skip through chapter 3 here a little bit. Titus chapter 3, beginning verse 1, it says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. authorities to obey, to be ready for every good work. Skip down to verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And now verse 14, and let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. So we'll come back and make another point out of that verse 14 a little bit later. But the idea, look at these verses here in Titus chapter 3, the idea of being ready to maintain and also to learn. And that idea is that it's not something that just comes natural sometimes to us, that these good works, we're going to look at and give a few examples of certain things that are good works. Not necessarily does it, some will come easier to up some than others. And some we have, you know, we do have to learn them. Obviously, have a lot of good examples here in this congregation of folks that go about and do good works, and we can learn from those that they see. But before we get into some examples, we want to look also at the purpose of good works. And we'll look at a couple of passages here in Matthew chapter 5, and we just talked about this, boy did, in the Sermon on the Mount just a few weeks ago. So Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So the idea we all, you know, few verses there, we had the children's song about having your light under a bushel, on a lampstand or hiding under a basket, and letting your light shine. But the idea there is to show those good works, be that light into the world, and that we glorify God in those good works. But then also in 1 Peter 2, verse 12, it says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as an evildoer, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So there again, the idea is that the purpose of these good works is that we glorify God in them. And then Luke 6:40, it says, as a disciple, just as an example, they make us more like Christ, and there's a lot of passages you can turn to, but I just simply put down here Luke 6:40, as it says, the disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. So the idea, and we'll get to that a little bit later when we talk about some of the examples of good works and what Jesus did while he was on this earth. And again, they were miraculous in nature, but I think they give us an example of the type of good works, or at least an example that we can follow when we're doing that. But again, we see that that it makes more like Christ. And then, and you can't really talk about works probably, but at some point we get into the book of James. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, and then a couple other verses here. It says in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, they help us demonstrate our living faith. So it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm and filled,' but you not give them the things which they are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And skip down to verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. So again, this is a passage that I know is very familiar to everyone here this morning. But the idea there again is a demonstration of our faith. It makes us, glory to God. It makes us more like Jesus, and it's that demonstration of our living faith. And also, in a passage we looked at briefly earlier, to make another point from 1 Peter 2:12, look back at that verse again. It says, "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may do your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Again, we didn't make that point the first time, but the idea is that it's unbelievers that are impacted by our good works. So they may make fun of us, they may ridicule us, they may say hateful things about us, but at the end of the day, we've made a good example. We've presented ourselves in a good light to them, and that we're known by our good works. And it may be ridiculed by them, but at the same time, and may help some to come and obey Christ. Also there in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 2, it says, wives, and again, uses the verse a lot about wives being subject to their husband, but wives likewise be submissive to your own husbands, even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct and coming by fear. And I'm sure if any of you have been here and have been in the church long enough, have known someone, either wife or husband, it seems like, sad to say, most time it is, more so on the women, that they converted their husbands than the other way around. But and then the idea there is it's been proven out that we probably all know someone that their wives, the spouse, the woman in the relationship had a great impact on the husband eventually obeying the gospel. So understanding that those good works do reap benefits over time. And then also the last one I have down is the purpose. There in Titus chapter 3 and verse 14 that we looked at a little bit earlier is that it says, let people maintain, let our people also learn to maintain their works to meet urgent needs that they may not be unfruitful. So again, that idea there is to meet urgent needs. So those are just some of the purposes that found in Scripture that I felt that to talk about understanding good works. And then just for a list here, and we may not have time to go through all these scriptures here, but I've got listed, but I'll try to cover a few of them. It was just some examples of things that we can talk that good works we can do. It's care for widows and orphans. Coming out of the institutional church, this is a passage I remember pretty quickly. As far as that, it was used heavily in that. If anybody's familiar with that, it was used pretty heavily in that whole debate. As far as that, it's the pure and undefiled religion before God and Father exists to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So it's important that we, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, so now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient at all. Galatians 6:1-2, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Then visiting the sick, and this is the one that the first three passages there, Luke chapter 4 and Luke 9 and Luke 10, those are all examples. We'll take time to turn to all of them, but I think it's pretty familiar with them as we're studying the life of Christ. Those are all examples of miraculous healing that Jesus did, but I just wanted to make a point of that, and we'll the emphasis that Jesus had on that. Again, I know the purpose of those miraculous healings caused belief and to great belief in people and to do that. But at the same time, I think it does show the example that Christ had in that, because he parted out to those that were sick of this world and to see about their needs. But the last passage there, what we want to turn to is James chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. It says, if anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And again, some you can argue that, understand that to be. Maybe that also was miraculous in nature at that first century in those elders. But again, the idea is that we are to see about others that are sickly and that have all their needs. We have. I know Mike made this point a week or two ago, proportionately for our size of our congregation, we have a lot of folks that have some serious ongoing health problems. So there's no shortage of just this one area alone in an effort to do good works for people and help out brethren of our own congregation. There's no shortage of opportunities to help people in this category alone, and not to speak of anything else we're going to talk about. Then also, the idea of good works as far as to entertain strangers. Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so some have unwittingly entertained angels. Romans 12:13, us tribute to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. And then 1 Timothy 5, 9 and 10 talks about there, and the idea of the context there is that of the widow and the needy. It says, do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has bought strength, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed, if she has diligently followed every good work. So there in that, just that three verses there, see twice it's mentioned the idea behind having good works when it comes to the widows. And then, talking about the men and the prisoners, Paul talks about several passages, in Hebrews 13:33. Remember the prisoners that have chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. The idea there that others are suffering for Christ's sake, whether they're in prison or being mistreated, whatever it might be, that we suffer with them because we are joined with them in our efforts to be part of the body of Christ, and that we understand that. Hebrews 10:34 says, for I have compassion on thee and my chains, and joyfully accept the plundering of your goods, knowing that they have better and enduring possession by yourself in heaven. And then finally, Philippians 4:14, nevertheless you have done well, but you have shared my distress. So the idea there is that others are suffering, especially those that are preaching the gospel in the harsh environments, that we have an opportunity there to be resourced as well. And then, one that's not to be overlooked there is just the idea of showing our wealth. And a couple passages there, Hebrews 13:16. So we do not forget to do good and to share with such sacrifice that God is well pleased. And then 1 Timothy 6:17-19. Command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which gives us riches. All things to enjoy. And they do so that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may hold an eternal life. So that is us as Christians, if we have been well blessed and have more than we need, that we understand that we have an opportunity to give back. And give back not only like we do to the church here and the work here on Sunday morning, but also to see about other folks' needs. As far as in this congregation. But then one other passage that I wanted to kind of wrap this idea up is that it's in Galatians 6:9-10. And the idea is to kind of wrap that this idea of the good works that we can do. He says, let us grow weary. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, if we have opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. And again, so this is not meant to be an all-inclusive list, just some ideas that came up to me as I was getting to study together this morning to try to understand what it means for good works. But there was one last passage that I had that I wanted to kind of end on when we talk about these things and what it means to do good works. Passage that I really hadn't thought about in this context because we use it a lot, use it differently, I think, a lot of times. But a lot of times we use this verse every time I've ever heard this verse brought up in 2 Timothy 3:16-17 is the idea of what the scripture taught. And but you know, when you take a look at how this, we'll just read this and make a couple of comments on it as we close. It says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I guess I just, you know, sometimes when you read a passage, you almost kind of overlook something in that passage. And I guess this is, I have to admit that this morning, it's kind of like, you know, you get so hung up on, or at least I always have, you've gotten so focused on the first part of that, you know, what the scriptures do for us, that the idea is of what the end result is supposed to be, is that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it's almost that old saying is that, I know I'm going to mess this up, I know I should have wrote it down, but if you have, you know, opportunity plus ability equals responsibility. Is that right? I can't believe I got that right. So that's off the top of my head. But the idea there, and that's really what I think when I was studying this and this week and preparing for this lesson, is really what I kind of got out of that was the ideas is as we study more and as we understand, like I said, you know, looking at all the passages, I know I ran through a lot of them this morning, but, you know, as far as the idea of what's behind good works for each and every one of us as Christians, but as we study more and as we understand what the what Scripture does for us, and it talks about there for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, but remember, all for us as Christians, I think, is that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So basically, we can gain all that knowledge, we can grow as a Christian, we can grow in our wealth and our knowledge of the Word, but if we don't put it to use in some of those categories that we talked about earlier, what good does it do? I mean, that's the whole purpose of it. That's the whole purpose of studying. That's the whole purpose of us being here. And like I said at the start, you know, the folks that are here at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I have no doubt that everybody here gets that, you know, that that's what the purpose is. But sometimes we just, you know, kind of take a step back and just understand that, okay, you know, that's what we're here for, and that's what we're here is to hopefully go out and to do something to not only talk about good works in general, that we see about each other, that we do those things throughout, you know, Monday through Saturday, not just on Sunday. So hopefully this has been a little bit of benefit to you this morning, talking about good works. My time is up this morning, and I believe Randy has a closing prayer, and then we'll be dismissed our classes.
Thank you.